Hi everyone, this is Matteo Bocelli and you're listening to Life Minute TV. Tonight I think I'm falling
in love. At just 28 years old, Italian singer Matteo Bocelli has already graced some of the world's biggest stages, often alongside his famous father, the legendary Andrea Bocelli. Now he brings his powerful voice and heartfelt spirit to his new album, Falling in Love. He stopped by the Life Minute Studios to share the music and the inspiration behind it. This is a Life Minute with Matteo Bocelli.
Woohoo! Matteo Bocelli in the house. Thanks
here
for
we are.
Joining us.
No, thank you for having me.
So glad to have you here. So you've been busy here in New York.
Yes, very, very busy. Actually, I started my tour here in New York with the Thanksgiving parade. And I'm ending the tour here because tomorrow I'll have my last show in Huntington.
Yes, that's a beautiful theater.
It's gonna be, yeah, I played there already once. It was last year or 2 years ago. And it was also a beautiful venue. I loved it very much.
Yeah. And then you played a little bit at MSG last night.
Yeah, exactly. MSG is always very special to be on stage with my father. And I mean, the venue holds many memories of ours, but also you can feel the energy of all the artists that perform there, no? So it's always great to be there.
Oh, beautiful. And tell us about your new album. It's fantastic, by the way, beautiful.
Thank you.
Falling in Love.
It's been a long journey in the sense that, you know, you never actually stop working on albums in the sense that, you know, since I released my first album, I kept like writing on the road, at home, anywhere I was. And then we produced the record actually at home at my place in Tuscany. That was special. It was like a very important thing for me because, you know, in the first album, unfortunately, we were experiencing COVID time. And so it wasn't easy to always be like connected with, you know, with the producer and to be in the room together. And with this record, that's what I really wanted, you know, like to be always together. So we spent, you know, weeks with a producer and different musicians. We were spending every day, you know, all together. And sometimes I was cooking for them because at the end, you know, music wants connections, you know. You must be connected with who you're making music to then be able to deliver, you know, to the audience. So I'm very proud of the work, honestly. I loved it.
Yeah, oh, it is. It's beautiful. What's the inspiration behind it? Are you in love?
Why this question? Ah, this is a tricky question. It's a secret. No, but I, you know, what I always say is that at the end we chose a title of the album, Falling in Love, is on one of the track in the album, because I do believe that, you know, love, it is the engine of the world. I think it's the reason we live. I feel like a life without love, it's not worth to be lived. And in particular, you know, like falling in love, I feel like keeps us alive, keeps us young. And it's something that we should try to do, you know, every day of our life, you know. So not basically, you know, just for, you know, for your partner, you know, but also for, you know, for the nature there is around you, to be, you know, to be grateful for the things we have. And yeah, to me it's very important.
See how he evaded that question. Very good, very good, Matteo. It's a little more poppy, would you say, than before? More pop?
It's not more pop than the previous album. To describe your music, it's never easy. I'd rather let the people that follows my music judge. But definitely it's way more organic in the sense that we basically started to produce the record with obviously all the songs done, almost all the songs done. And we started to jam every demo with all the musicians. And basically the biggest part of the production of every song was the jam that we did all together, you know, like the jamming. And so it feels organic because I wanted a record that where the structure itself was, you know, made by real musicians playing and not really like sounds taken by, you know, from playlist, you know. And yes, that's why to me it feels organic. It feels real. There might be, you know, mistakes as well. There might be also like not mistakes in the recording, but you know you can feel a lot the room because basically we were approaching every song all together, playing it, and because to me that's the best way to feel the songs.
Right. Glimpse of Happiness has John Batiste in it.
Yeah, Glimpse of Happiness is a song that I love so much from the record. It's definitely something different compared to what I've been doing so far. And I remember the day that I started to write the song. I was, again, home in Tuscany, and I woke up and I was having this feeling of happiness that sometimes, not every morning you wake up and you have that strong feeling of, you know, joy. And so I went downstairs, I took my guitar, I started to play, you know, a few chords, I improvised a melody, I recorded it with my phone, and after 10, 15 minutes playing, I was like, I actually really love this idea, you know? So, you know, you don't always love what you do, you know? Sometimes you write, but it's, you know, it's things that you keep in the, just recorded in the phone. And so I was like, I was going to see John in a few weeks, and so I played in the idea, and he was like, you know, I love it. Let's make it a song, you know. And from there we, you know, we gave to the song the title of Glimpse of Happiness, because at the end, again, happiness is made of moments, you know. It cannot be happiness the entire day, you know. Definitely, we have to aim for serenity in our lives. But happiness is something that comes and goes, and it may last, you know, a few seconds, few minutes. But it's also the beauty of it, no? And so I try to catch that feeling that I had that morning, and I hope that I've been able to, you know, to deliver it to everyone.
You did. It's beautiful. I love it. How does the creative process work for you? Do you just, like, get an idea, and then you have to, like, go get to it?
Or? I feel like songs definitely comes from moments where you're particularly inspired, definitely. But I think it's good to write in general anytime you... You know, like the more you write, like writing is also an exercise. The better it is, in the sense that the more you do, and the easiest is then to make a song whenever you're truly inspired. No, because if you think you're gonna, you know, do great songs only when you're inspired, I think it's harder. So definitely, it's important to be inspired, but it's also important to be ready and to be practical with making a song.
And you said after it was done, you cook for people?
Yeah.
And what do you cook? Yeah.
You know, I'm Italian, so we kind of like definitely like give importance to the cooking, to the, you know, good quality food. And it's something that I love to do when I'm home, to fill the days. In my days, there's not just music, you know. Sometimes I try to do something different. And cook is definitely something that relaxes me a lot. And the things that I love to do the most, obviously, are main dishes, so like pasta, risotto, and can be any type. So I also prepare all the sauces, and it's fun. Aww. And also it's a way to, you know, to gather also with friends, because it's something that I also do a lot with friends. Like when I'm home, for me the best way to spend time is with friends, because it's I don't know, to me that's the meaning of life. Yes. Honestly, like it's,
I'm Italian too. We say food is love. Well, lucky Martin and the whole gang over there.
Yeah. No, they enjoyed a lot. I can tell you. They were like, yeah, it was fun. It was a fun time.
That's awesome. And you've collaborated with so many people. Sophia Carson, Ed Sheeran, you opened for Lionel Richie. You performed for the Pope and presidents and Kardashians. What are some of your favorite moments of performing?
I feel like those are all, you know, great moments. It's fun. It's, you know, I'm honored to be able to, you know, to perform for all these, you know, celebrities. But, you know, at the end, a performance is a performance. And no matter who you have in front, whenever your music is appreciated, that's the most beautiful thing. So that's what counts, you know, and that what makes you feel, you know, satisfied and accomplished. So no matter what's the audience, you know, I always enjoy making music. Again, definitely, it's a big honor, obviously, to be playing for presidents, for popes, but again, it's not really about who you have in front, you know. It's about be able to deliver your emotions and to be able to connect with who you have in front of you. So, I have beautiful memories, you know, like, for example, with Biden, out of cameras, we performed, me and my father, for him, Follow Me. And he started, you know, like to cry. And, you know, that's when you're like, I'm not singing to a president, I'm singing to a human being, you know, and that's what counts.
Yeah. Did you always know you wanted to be a musician?
I've always known that I would have wanted to make music in my life, that for sure, because I grew up with music and I spent my old days, you know, with music. So, but obviously you never have the guarantee that you're going to be, you know, like on a stage one day, you know, it's never certain. But definitely, yeah, like growing up, I felt that, you know, I always wanted to go to the studio, and I was stressing my father, a sound engineer, to record myself and, you know, to hear myself back and trying to understand where I could, you know, get better, you know, in many things, definitely. And then, yes, I was trying to convince my father to, you know, to start you know, releasing something, no? Even though it was very scary for me, because he knows how challenging it is, the music industry. And I always tell the story that when I was 16, actually, David Foster asked me to make a record with him. And my father was, no, you're too young, you're not ready, you have to go to school, all these things, no? So I was a little bit sad, because definitely that would have been an incredible, you know, chance to start. But, you know, I think that things don't happen randomly. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy to be where I am today. Yeah, I feel very grateful and privileged to be able to bring my music, you know, almost everywhere.
Oh, we're so grateful too. It's so beautiful. When did your dad become supportive of it and realize, oh, wow, yeah, this kid does have something?
He's always been supportive. You know, at the end, music, it's been one of the most important things in his life, no? So definitely he was happy for us to get to know about music. But from one side, he was happy to see me, like, playing the piano, but not to see me, like, singing, in the sense that he was proud of it. But it was like, I'm scared for him,
sure.
You know, because
yeah.
Again, I know what the music industry is about. So, but definitely, yeah, I remember the first time that I was, like, for example, singing for him in a more like operatic voice, and that's always been his biggest passion, you know, opera. He was very proud. He was very proud. He loved it.
What are some of the biggest things or advice that he's given you that stuck with you?
Well, vocally, a lot, and he keeps, you know, giving me suggestions now and then, because you know, you never stop learning. And definitely at the beginning, when I released, especially Follow Me with him, that was my first ever, you know, release. You know, how to approach, you know, a stage, a TV, a radio, like, you know, anything that a career puts you in front of, you know, because it's not just about the performance, it's everything that goes around. And so, yeah, I learned a lot from him, definitely.
I bet. Do you do anything to hone your voice or exercise it or?
The number one thing, it's always the rest. There's nothing better for the voice for the rest. Also, the second thing, your diet, in the sense that I have to stay light. So the more I eat plain, so like plain rice, plain pasta, plain everything, I just add a little bit of olive oil. And very important is the time, like when you eat. So for example, I always like eat at least 5 hours before the performance, because you want to be like digested, because otherwise when you sing, you may, sorry for the word, but you may burp.
Yeah.
And also, like, if you sing right away after eating, you may become afono. That means like when you lose the voice, because you're on the digestion. And same thing, like when you, like, before going to bed, like, so if I want to have dinner after the show, then like if I eat at, I don't know, 10:30, 11, usually I go to bed late. I go to bed like at 3 a.m.
Wow.
Sometimes 4. So, you know, at the end on the tour, the most important thing is always the show, and the show is always at night. So unfortunately, I get into this routine of going to bed very late.
Right.
But yes, rest and what you eat and the times.
That's so interesting. You're the first person who ever said that. It makes a lot of sense.
Then vocal rest, it's personal. Like I do a lot of vocal rest in the sense that it's not that I don't talk at all, but I talk less, and when I talk very softly.
Right.
And nothing, that's it.
Awesome.
No other secrets.
Keep it up. Keep doing what you're doing. Who are your influences growing up?
My influences? I mean, I've always been obviously chasing the best, you know, I've been chasing the best. So mm-hmm. I would say, you know, to me, like Lionel Richie and Elton John have been probably the greatest singer-songwriters. So definitely they were like great examples for me. And, you know, both of them were very much into the piano. They've been, you know, the main thing for their career, you know. And, you know, growing up studying the piano, for me, that was, you know, again, a great example. But, you know, I've been following a lot also Ed Sheeran. I've always been impressed by his skill in entertaining, you know, a full stadium with just, you know, his voice and a guitar. I feel like that's incredible. But again, it's not good to say that just a few names, no, because there are so many incredible talents out there. So yeah, I have to learn from all of them.
It's evident in your sound. When did you start playing the piano?
Playing the piano, I was 6-7 years old. Yeah, 6-7 years old, without any good results, but still.
Oh, And guitar too, huh?
No, guitar, oh. Look, I did 2 days ago. Because in this last tour, I started to play the guitar on stage. And we did, I don't know, like something like 14 shows. And then the 15th, I made a bad mistake on the guitar. But I mean, people knows in the sense that I just bought my first real like beautiful acoustic guitar in LA, you know, a few weeks ago, and I started to practice. Then on stage, I had a different guitar. So that's also, it's not like the easiest to, you know, to change instrument when you get used to like one specific.
Yep.
And plus, again, I never studied guitar, so I literally like started now to learn all the technique, and let's see. I think it's good to always have a challenge, you know, to learn something.
Yeah, and people like it, like you said, the organic and a little bit of mistakes, and it's real.
Yeah, that's true. That definitely wasn't full playback.
I love it. Well, you told us you like to cook when you're not working. What else do you do when you're not working?
When I'm not working, honestly, I love to spend a lot of time in nature. So, you know, living in the countryside gives you a lot of activities. Like when it's depending on the season, you know, you go like mushroom hunting, you go truffle hunting, like walks in general, you know, in the forest, I think you say in English. And I love it. Yeah, I feel like it's a way to reconnect, you know, and to stay grounded and to relax.
I love that. What have been some of your favorite things to do when you're not working, when you're in the city, New York City?
Well, it's a city that gives you, you know, so many things to do, like musicals, a lot of things in the show business. But definitely, you know, again, lots of walks in Central Park. There's like lately, for example, I was obsessed with guitars. I've been, you know, like chasing guitars and go see like guitar shops, like this one called Rudy's Guitar. Then in New York, I found one of the greatest, because I'm not celiac, but I have a preference, like I eat gluten free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's this place called Pizza Arte that to me makes one of the best like gluten free pizza that I've ever had. So that's one thing that we always do when we come here to New York. It's tradition.
Cool.
And many other things, you know, again, like New York has so many beautiful, you know, places to go and visit.
Awesome. What was the first record you ever got?
Probably was Jennifer Lopez.
Really?
Yeah, like buying like on my own. But yeah, since I was a little kid, I was like, I remember I had the super famous, Queen.
Uh-huh.
Like I've always been obsessed with Queen since I was little. Yeah, I was listening to David Bowie, Michael Jackson. Yeah, I remember all the greatest.
That's so cool. You really are eclectic. What does music do for people?
They say music can heal. I don't know scientifically if that's real, but definitely I feel like it plays a very important role in, I don't want to say everyone's life, but most of the people's life. I mean, again, I cannot imagine a life without music, no? Like, I feel like for artists, there's like a very important role in this world, because definitely through music you can deliver a lot of messages, you know? And I always try, you know, on my little own to simply bring, you know, like definitely like fun, joy, happiness, but also, you know, like hope, because at the end we're living in a world that feels sometimes a little bit too like artificial, superficial also. And nothing, again, I think it's, you know, one of the most beautiful thing of music is also that brings people together, you know? And I feel like that the more we're able to, you know, to be together, to be united, and the better, you know, it's going to be.
So good. And what's next for you? What's something you want to do?
So next, 2026, I'm starting the year with my tour in South America. So I'll be in Viña del Mar for the festival. I'll be playing in Mexico, in Argentina, but also I'm coming back in US. Well, actually before I have to go to Australia for other 5 to 7 shows in Australia. And then, yes, I'm coming back to US in the summer, because finally I'm playing in open door venues in the summer,
yes,
in 2026 here in USA. So I'm very, very excited for that, honestly.
Awesome. That's so great. It was such a pleasure to have you. Congratulations with all you're doing.
No, thank you.
Thanks for your beautiful work and your beautiful voice.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.